സർവശാസ്ത്രാഭിപീയൂഷാ സർവവേദൈക സത്ഫല സർവസിദ്ധാന്തരത്നാഢ്യ സർവലോകൈകദൃക്പ്രദാ സർവഭാഗവത പ്രാണ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവത പ്രഭോ കലിദ്വന്ദോദിതാദിത്യ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ പരിവർത്തിത പരമാനന്ദ പാഠായ പ്രേമവർഷ്യക്ഷരായ തേ സർവദാ സർവസേവ്യായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമോസ്തു മേ മദേക ബന്ധോ മത്സംഗിൻ മദ്ഗുരോ മന്മഹാധന മന്നിസ്താരക മദ്ഭാഗ്യ മദാനന്ദ നമോസ്തു തേ അസാധു സാധുതാദായിൻ അതിനീചോചതാകര ഹാനമുഞ്ച കദാചിൻ മാം പ്രേമണ ഹൃത്കണ്ഠയോ സ്ഫുര ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ Continuing chanting this song sung by Lord Shiva, text 63. Tvameka adya purusha supta shaktis Tvameka adya purusha supta shaktis Taya rajas sattvatamo vibhidyate രജസത്വതമോ വിഭിദ്യതെ മഹാനഹം ഖം മരുദഗ്നിവാർധരാഃ മഹാനഹം ഖം മരുദഗ്നിവാർധരാഃ സുരർഷയോ ഭൂതഗണാ ഇദം യതഃ സുരർഷയോ ഭൂതഗണ ഇദം യതഃ ത്വമേക ആദ്യഃ പുരുഷഃ സുപ്തശക്തിസ് തയാ രജസത്വതമോ വിഭിദ്യതേ മഹാനഹം ഖം മരുദഗ്നിവാർധരാ സുരർഷയോ ഭൂതഗണ ഇദം യതഃ Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are the only Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in a dormant condition. When your material energy is agitated, the three qualities, namely goodness, passion and ignorance, act. And as a result, the total material energy, egotism, ether, air, fire, water, earth, and all the various demigods and saintly persons becomes manifest. Thus the material world is created. Purport. If the whole creation is one, that is, nothing but the Supreme Lord, or Vishnu, then why do the expert transcendentalists make such categories as are found in the above verse? Why do learned and expert scholars distinguish between matter and spirit? In answer to these questions, Lord Shiva says that spirit and matter are not creations of various philosophers, but are manifested by Lord Vishnu, as described in this verse, Tvam eka adyah purusha. Spiritual and material categories are made possible by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, there are no such distinctions for the living entities who are eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. There is only a material world for those who want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Indeed, the material world is nothing but forgetfulness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of everything. The distinction between matter and spirit is created by the sleeping energy of the Lord when the Lord wants to give some facility to those living entities who want to imitate the Lord in his enjoyment. It is only for them that this material world is created by the dormant energy of the Lord. For instance, Sometimes children want to imitate their mother and cook in the kitchen. And at such a time, the mother supplies them with some toys so that the children can imitate her cooking. Similarly, when some of the living entities want to imitate the activities of the Lord, this material cosmic manifestation is created for them by the Lord. The material creation is therefore caused by the Lord through His material energy. It is by the glands of the Lord that the material energy is activated. At that time, the three material qualities are set into motion, and the material energy is manifested first in the form of the Mahat-tattva, then egotism, then ether, then air, fire, water, and earth. After the creation, the living entities are impregnated in the cosmic manifestation, and they emerge as Lord Brahma and the seven great rishis, then as different demigods. From the demigods come human beings, animals, trees, birds, beasts, and everything else. The original cause, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as verified herein, Tvam Eka Adya Purusha. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govindas Sarvakarana Karanam. Those who are covered by the material energy cannot understand that the origin of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is summarized in the Vedanta aphorism, Janmadyasya Yataha. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matasarvam Pravartate Itimatva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. When Krishna says that he is the origin of everything, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha, he means that he is even the source of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Purusha Avataras, the material manifestation and all the living entities within the material world. Actually, the word Prabhava, creation, only refers to this material world, for since the spiritual world is eternally existing, there is no question of creation. In the Chaturshloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says, Aham evasam evagre. I was existing in the beginning before the creation. In the Vedas, it is also said, Eko Narayana asid. Before the creation, there was only Narayana. This is also confirmed by Shankaracharya, Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana is transcendental to the creation. Since all the activities of Narayana are spiritual, when Narayana said, let there be creation, the creation was all spiritual. The material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanditam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitanscha Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandau Sahoditau Gododaye Pushpavantau Chitrau Shandau Tamonudau. One more time translation. My dear Lord, you are the only Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in a dormant condition. When your material energy is agitated, the three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, act. And as a result, the total material energy, egotism, ether, air, fire, water, earth, and all the various demigods and saintly persons becomes manifest. Thus the material world is created. So there are a few points that come in this verse and the purport as well. So I'll try to expand on those points. So first of all is So this verse and the subsequent 64th verse, they explain the Lord and His material energy. Basically, this is Paramatma feature of the Lord. Lord, when He deals with His material energy, it is considered that this, He does this through His Paramatma feature, not as Swayam Bhagavan. So, and the activity of the creation is briefly summarized here. Initially, there is a Supta Shakti, or dormant energy of the Lord, material energy of the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada once in the commentary says, the sleeping energy. You know, it is not activated. It lies dormant and manifest. We call it pradhana. It's very difficult to even imagine that state of matter and manifest. Basically, by words you can't explain it. It's even reading about it in the Bhagavatam, in the other scriptures, still leaves lots of blank space in our minds. What is that pradhana and mahatattva? Although some lakshanas, some descriptions are given of those states of material energy, it's still hard to imagine what it is. Even the elements of this world, according to the Bhagavatam, the five Mahabhutas, the five great elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, even what these elements are, it's hard to conceive. Because it's not the earth, and immediately what we have in our minds is what we see. You know, you go down, look at what at your feet, and you see the earth. It's not that earth. The original elements, as they exist, it is said in the coverings of the material universe, that is there. How to say, actual swarupa of those elements, yeah? They enter into creation, the elements, they enter into creation, they pervade the creation. Earth, that original earth, original fire and so on, these all elements, they pervade everything we see here, but we don't see those elements in their original identity, yeah. They remain aloof, yeah. At the same time, while pervading this world, so it in other words, it's very hard to imagine the whole process of creation. The only thing we can conclude is that whatever the Lord does, it's all very wonderful and very, and it really does seem like a pastime. It does seem like an effortless leela, yeah. Very different from what we read in other scriptures that say the Lord became tired and He had to rest after creating the world. That's why we also have a day in a week when we rest. So the Lord doesn't become tired according to the Bhagavatam. Very effortless, very playful way that the Lord creates the world, just by the glance. You know, there's no extraneous exerting endeavor, yeah, just a glance, and everything happens, and then that glance agitates the material energy, the pradhana, and in turn everything, like a chain reaction, is happening. The mahatattva manifests, then the ego, and which in contact with the modes of nature produces various things. We read about this in the second and the third cantos of the Bhagavatam. So then, very wonderful, in a very wonderful way, Krishna expands Himself into three purushas and enters the material creation, the various phases of the material creation, and then the further creation is entrusted to Lord Brahma. That's what we have, Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is the primary creation that is affected by the Lord Himself, and then Visarga, subsequent creation, which is basically the manipulation of the elements by Lord Brahma. That is Visarga. These two are the topics of the Bhagavatam, and the Mahapurana too. There are 10 topics here of the Mahapuranas. So then further, Lord Brahma appears on the lotus that sprouts from the navel of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. Another amazing display of the Lord's creation, Leela. It is indeed a Leela. So it is all wonderful. And as Lord Chaitanya explains to Sanatana Goswami, that there are two characteristics that the Lord is identified by the great sages and the devotees. There is Swarupa Lakshana of the Lord, and there is the Tatastha Lakshana of the Lord. Many of you are familiar with these terms, Swarupa Lakshana, or the essential characteristics, and Tatastha Lakshana, the marginal characteristics. So Swarupa Lakshana of the Lord is, the essential characteristic of the Lord is his appearance, his bodily features, and his Swarupa, his nature, the Lord's wonderful qualities, the Lord's character, this is the Swarupa, and the Lord himself, his transcendental body. And Tatastha Lakshana, or the marginal characteristic, is the Lord's activities. So the point of calling these, dividing these characteristics into two, which is the essential and the marginal, is that sometimes it is said that Tatastha Lakshana, or marginal characteristics, may be present or may not be present. The object is still is defined by Swarupa Lakshana, by its essential characteristic. In other words, even if Krishna doesn't perform various activities, he's still God. He's still God. But the nature of God is that he does perform activities which are very wonderful, so therefore they are there. So Tatastha Lakshana, and an example of these wonderful characteristics is, for example, the creation of this world, which no one but the Lord can accomplish. No any other living entity can create the world. Some yogis, by their mystic power, they may create a planet, even, which is pretty much an amazing display of power, mystic power, to create a planet which will float in the universe along with others. It's practically unimaginable. Still, this is no match for creation of the whole Brahmanda, the whole universe. So therefore, looking at the feet of the Lord of creating this material universe, we conclude, yes, this is the Supreme Lord. This is the Supreme Lord. The way he manifested everything, the way he reminded Lord Brahma about how to create, practically without him the creation is not possible. So he is the Supreme Lord, and Hare Krishna. So particularly to the conditioned souls, these Tatastha Lakshana, these marginal characteristics, which is the Lord's heroic deeds, as often we hear from Prabhupada, this is very relevant to instilling the faith in the Lord. the Lord's heroic deeds as lifting the Govardhan hill, as jumping from the 80 miles high mountain, all these wonderful feats of the Lord that are impossible to imitate by any conditioned soul, it does inspire faith, it does inspire a lot the conditioned souls. Yeah? And it seems that these Svarupa Lakshana of the Lord, or the Lord's essential, his internal characteristics as the Lord's form, the Lord's nature, his character, is a little hard to appreciate. It is appreciated further as the conditioned soul takes to the process of devotional service, and then gradually one can understand the importance of appreciating the Lord as He is, yeah, His intrinsic nature and His qualities. So it does take some deal of spiritual advancement to appreciate the Lord from that angle. So nevertheless, the advanced devotees, they do take pleasure in hearing any activities of the Lord, yeah, because it is all related to their worshipable deity, and their devotion becomes nourished by hearing of basically of any pastimes. Yeah. So even the pastime of creation, it is not the primary activity of the Lord. I mean, the Lord has basically more important business to engage in His internal energy, in the spiritual world, with His eternal associates. Nevertheless, out of His compassion, He creates this material world to reform the conditioned souls. So we can't call this creation business the primary activity of the Lord. Still, hearing about it, hearing about the wonderful way it is performed, it inspires devotion. So, some religious paths in this world, they basically view God only in relation to the world. Yeah, they are able to appreciate God, His greatness, only in relation to how the Lord creates and maintains this world. Yeah, they have no clue as to what are the Lord's personal activities. They have no even idea that these activities may exist at all. Mm? According to those spiritualists, you can say, whose knowledge of God is very basic, to them this the Lord's involvement in the world is the activity of the Lord. But this is quite a limited understanding of God. So therefore, Krishna comes and displays His pastimes in order to show us His the activities of His internal nature, yeah, not just God in the office, but God at home too, yeah, to give us some advanced understanding and some higher appreciation for Him. This is why Krishna comes and performs His Bhauma Leela in this world, and the fortunate souls, they somehow or other come in touch with these descriptions by the mercy of the devotees, and their faith, their shraddha sprouts, and further their devotion to the Lord increases more and more as they hear such wonderful activities of the Lord with His eternal devotees. As Srila Prabhupada explains here, he gives a reference to the verse of the Bhagavatam and the Gita that describe how Krishna is the root of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything, everything comes from me. So, I am the source of everything, the source of the material and spiritual existences. Now, it is pointed out in the purport that we can't say that the Lord is the source of the spiritual existence in the sense that He is the source of the material existence. Because we don't hear of such pastimes as creating the spiritual world. It is coexistent with the Lord. It is as eternal as the Lord is. So therefore, in this sense, we have to understand that the Lord, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, I am the Prabhava, I am the origin, in a sense that the Lord can display this spiritual reality in some another location too, like the Lord does in this world, or in the same way as the Lord can reveal the spiritual reality to a devotee in his heart. So Krishna is the source of everything, and matas sarvam pravartate, everything comes from me, seems like the same statement, you know, reiterated, yeah, repeated in different way. I'm the source of everything, everything comes from me. So we may say that yes, this repetition is there in order to stress the point. Yes, Krishna, you are the cause, you are the origin. Yeah. On the other hand, as it is explained that this second line, matas sarvam pravartate, may refer to different processes by which the Lord is achieved, either directly or gradually. Bhakti, karma, jnana, and so on. They are also originated from the Lord. The Lord does disseminate this knowledge of these different sadhanas in the world through His different Shaktyavesha incarnations. Like Narada Muni's, Krishna's incarnation empowered by Bhakti Shakti. Yeah, and similarly, there are other sages who are empowered with Jnana Shakti in order to disseminate the process of Jnana. And in the same way, in this way, the Lord, these different types of sadhanas of how to achieve the Lord, either directly or indirectly, are also originating from Krishna. And therefore, the conclusion is the wise who know this, that everything ultimately originates from Krishna, what do they do? Which process do they choose? Yeah? Buddha bhava samanvitaha bhajante mam. Unalloyed devotional service. Ekanta bhakti. One-pointed devotion. So they know that all these types of sadhanas originate from Krishna, but knowing that, they also understand which is the prime path, which is the shortest path, which is the most appreciated path, that is bhakti yoga, and they engage in that, endowed with bhava, yeah, not just as out of duty, not out of any other thing, but out of love, yeah, bhava samanvitaha. And they worship Krishna with bhavas, which can also indicate different types of relationships that one can have with Krishna. Yeah. So, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. These are the rasas of devotional exchange of priti, exchange of love between the devotee and the Lord. And if there is any way to relate to God, the most which will be most pleasing to Him, this is one of these four rasas. Yeah. And further, Srila Prabhupada quotes, "Aham evasam eva grede." from the first verse of the Chatushloki of the Bhagavatam, which also states that Krishna is the beginning of everything, Krishna is the end of everything, and Krishna is the middle of everything too. Yeah? He says, Aham evasam evagre, I only existed before the creation, nanyad yat sadasat param, nothing else but me existed, satasat param, which is beyond the cause and effect. In other words, nothing. What is beyond the cause and effect? Either somebody may speculate that this might be the unmanifest material nature. Krishna says, no, that too didn't exist. Or somebody may propose impersonal Brahman. No, Krishna says, nanyad yat sadasvat. That is, okay, even if you say that existed, it is not different from me, nanyat. So ultimately, it comes back to the first point, I existed. Paschadaham yad etacha yovashishyeta sosmyaham. I exist after the creation, and I am the creation, and whatever might be there, whatever else you might think of, it is all me, Krishna says. So I am the beginning, the middle, the end, and I am everything. This is the point. So aham eva asam eva agre. At the same time, we should understand that actually it's very interesting how this verse is composed. Aham eva asam eva. I only existed. In which primarily, if we try to understand this verse, it refutes any other doer, any other cause for creation but Krishna. Krishna only existed. Yeah. On the other hand, somebody might say, is it that just Krishna existed? Like sometimes we see some impersonalists, they paint Krishna in the clouds. Srila Prabhupada didn't appreciate such depictions of the Lord. He says, the Lord is never alone. So when it is said in the Bhagavatam, I only existed, aham eva, this is what it literally means, I only existed. Is that supposed to mean that just Krishna existed in the clouds? And, you know, sometimes you see in the movies too, Krishna is sitting in some kind of a cloudy, smoky space and then watches what's happening in the world. So where is the spiritual world? Where are the associates of the Lord? This is all implied. It is explained. Just like when you tell the king is coming or the prime minister is coming, it is natural that you will not see the prime minister just walking by himself with a case on the street. No, you will see the whole entourage, you know, bodyguards, his advisors, and so on. So in the same way, when we say Krishna only existed, or Krishna himself says, I only existed, it implies that Krishna existed along with his entourage. That implies his eternal associates and his eternal world, yeah, full of those eternal devotees. So Krishna only existed means all that, including. And then also, next phrase, asam eva. Asam means I existed. But then again, eva is added. I existed only. What's that supposed to mean? So first thing, that means that, yeah, there's no way that Krishna didn't exist, kind of to negate the opposite view. Yes, I existed only, in the sense that it's not that I didn't exist. On the other way, in the other hand, I existed only, that eva, that word, is meant to convey the point that Krishna didn't do any activity in relation to creation. Krishna was engaged in his spiritual activities in the spiritual world, yeah, and he was inactive, yeah, in relation to creation. So this is what it's supposed to mean. So this phrase doesn't state that the Lord was just totally inactive, yeah. It is like sometimes we say, oh, such and such has a holiday, you know, such and such, you know, doesn't do any work today. Does it mean that the person you're talking about just sits the whole day long, inactive? No. It means that, okay, the person you're talking about doesn't do his job or doesn't do his official, formal activities, yeah, but he's there at home, performing his activities with his, you know, dear and loved ones, yeah, you may say. Yeah, the king doesn't do any work today, yeah. So then you understand, okay, he's with his personal associates. So, and Krishna doesn't, he existed only in the sense that he was there with his eternal associates in the spiritual world, you know. So, creating this material world doesn't bind the Lord. This is another point that is expressed by Srila Prabhupada. Let there be creation. That creation was all spiritual. The material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. So we can also, in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that he poses a question. Why do the expert transcendentalists make such categories as are found in the above verse? If nothing is the Supreme Lord, why make differentiation, matter and spirit? So the answer is, these are real distinctions. Yeah, these are real distinctions because these both energies, they are real. They are originated from the Lord. Their existence is real. So that's why the differentiation is made. That is jada or achit and chit, yeah, spiritual existence. Therefore, the difference is made. Now, another way, when we say spiritual and material, we may refer to the function of the energy. And therefore, this is the meaning when we say the material doesn't exist for those who, as is stated in the last sentence, for those who know that Narayana is the original cause. This means that the material energy doesn't exercise its function, its primary function on those souls, which is the forgetfulness, yeah, and further implication in the misery. Yeah? So, for Krishna, everything is spiritual, in a sense that that this material world doesn't bind him as it does bind the ignorant souls who are sick with their avidya. So for Krishna everything is spiritual, as is for those who take shelter of him. Etad ishanam ishasya prakritisthopi tad gunair na yujyate sadatmasthair yathabuddhistadashrayat. This is the godhood of the God. In the first canto it is stated. This is the proof that God is God, because even while being situated in this prakriti, even coming into this material world to perform his pastimes, he is not covered by the modes of nature, nor those who take shelter of him. Yathabuddhistadasha, their intelligence is not covered by the modes of nature. So by saying that nothing is material for those who constantly remember Krishna, we say that this material energy no more exerts its power on them. So in that way, wherever they are, they are in touch with the Lord. And in a sense, Narayana Parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati, they're not afraid. They don't have the duality that this is good or this is bad. Yeah. Svarga pavarga narakeshva pitulyartha darshinah, they see liberation. Svarga apavarga, or heaven, svarga apavarga, liberation, naraka, yeah, wherever they are, tulyartha darshinah, they see those places equally, in the sense that they have no personal preference or desire to be here and there. The only thing they're concerned with is their service of the Lord, yeah, and this is their only concern, and this is what keeps them free from the material influence. So even while being in this material world, one can become free from its influence. Yeah, if one constantly remembers Krishna, if one constantly engages in Krishna's service, this service has that potency to cure us from the material disease. Yeah, and therefore we should take very carefully to the process of bhakti. Even if sometimes it does seem bitter to our sick natures, to our sick senses. The ego, ahankara, may sometimes feel pain. Yeah, it does. Because this is the process of treatment. So therefore, we should take to bhakti yoga with that in view, that it may sometimes be painful to our ego. Yeah. But this is the sign that it works. It is the sign. Yeah. That's a good sign. Yeah. Something is happening. Our perverted, selfish consciousness is being gradually turned towards the Lord. We become sevon mukha, yeah, instead of pratimukha, being turned away. We slowly turn ourselves to the Lord. That is very wonderful. And bhava ushadha, yeah, this is explained in relation to hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, Krishna katha, yeah. Those who are self-realized, those who are already have already revived their eternal relationship with the Lord, those who are totally free from material energy, they upagiyamana, they hear and chant, and we can imply that they serve, they do everything. This is out of their bliss. They're full of that love for Krishna that manifests in all their activities, and therefore all their activities are relishable. They're supremely relishable to them, and they can't stop doing it. Yeah? They can't stop serving, chanting, hearing and remembering Krishna. It is their life, it is their soul, it is their only happiness. But not everybody has this understanding and this realization of Krishna bhakti, and therefore it is mentioned after that bhava ushadha, it is also a medicine for material existence. Yeah? So with that in mind, we should very carefully follow the process of bhakti, and gradually the jaundice, the disease of avidya, is uprooted. One may, as it is said, by following any other process, one may mitigate to certain degree some pain. Yamadi bhir yoga pathai, was it? Kama lobha hato muhuhu, mukunda sevaya yadvat tathatma adhana shamyati. So, I think Narada is saying that by following the process of Ashtanga Yoga and some other processes too, kama lobhahato muhuhu, indeed kama, lust, greed, they may subside. They may subside. One may even think that, oh, they've vanquished from me, from my consciousness. Yeah, so, but then, Narada says that, tathātma dhāna shāmyati mukunda sevaya yadvad, the way oneself becomes shāmyati, becomes pacified, becomes happy by direct service to Mukunda. It cannot be compared to the happiness and to the relief obtained by other processes. Yeah? So therefore, Bhakti Yoga is the process of direct connection to the Lord. And why? Because why the effect of Bhakti is so emphasized as being greater than the effect produced by following any other processes? Because Bhakti aims at eradicating the original root of our material disease, which is avidya, forgetfulness of the Lord and forgetfulness of our original relationship with the Lord. So therefore, we may try to treat the symptoms, but if the root cause of the disease is still there, it will sprung again. The disease will again relapse. And there is a proof to this. When Lord Brahma says that, aruhya krit shrena parampadam tata patantya dho anadrita yushma dangrayaha, that he said, with great difficulty, with great labor, those who are aspiring, strive after liberation, they finally manage to ascend to that position. Parampadam tatah patantya dho, from there they fall down again. Anadrita yushma dangraha, because they fail to worship your lotus feet. We can say they sort of artificially go to that state, and if some of them manage to get liberated, because Brahma says vimukta maninas, they may think themselves to be liberated. They're not actually liberated. Why? Because their position in that spiritual sphere, in the spiritual environment, is not secure. They have no anchor to keep them there. What is that anchor? The lotus feet of the Lord. Yeah. Devotees, bhakti lata, you know, in the heart of a devotee, it grows, it penetrates the coverings of the universe, and it finds shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. So the devotees are firmly catching the lotus feet of the Lord, and they stay in a spiritual existence very firmly, and not others who don't have relationship with the Lord. So therefore, by devotional service, one gets liberated, and one stays in that liberated condition, serving eternally in his original relationship, the Supreme Lord, without fear of falling down again. Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhamma paraman mama. Krishna says, once having returned to that abode, one never falls down, having learned the lesson. So this is the process of treatment, the most powerful process to treat the material disease, bhakti, not just the symptoms. Yeah. So therefore, we should take it with all seriousness and try to follow. Then it will work. If we superficially adopt the external signs of devotional service, yeah, we may assume the appearance of a devotee, yeah, even superficially perform the activities without actually applying ourselves fully to the instructions of our spiritual master and the acharyas. Yeah, it will take a very long time for us to become purified. Yeah, but if one sticks very firmly to these instructions, then the process is very fast and very easy. Srila Prabhupada says, in one lifetime, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So we should take these words seriously, and we should really make that plan. Yes, I don't want to leave anything for my next life. No, in this life, I want to attain Krishna. So with that seriousness, one has to perform the devotional service. Then everything will be very fast. Yeah, everything depends on the attitude and the desire of the performer. So then it is difficult, because we do got stuck in this world with our anarthas. It does seem very difficult. Sometimes even we Krishna does teach us many lessons. Sometimes we may feel we are advanced, and then Krishna will mercifully arrange some situation where where he will show that, no, wait, don't be too presumptuous. Here, look at this. You still have this anartha, and then, it's kind of a awakening to one's senses. Yeah, shaking us. Yes, I'm still stuck in this world, in this material world, in the sense that I'm still attached. I'm still attached to my ego. I'm still attached to the way I think of myself. I'm still attached to the way others should think of me. So many attachments our mind maintains and creates, newer and newer ones. So, but Krishna is merciful and He guides us. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Therefore, whatever happens as a result of devotional service, even if it does seem painful to us, it is true happiness. Because seva sukha dukha parama sampad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whether we feel happy or we feel some difficulty or misery in the course of devotional service, it is our most valuable asset, because both destroy the actual misery, the misery of ignorance, and this is actual misery that does haunt us as a ghost. Yeah. So, Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or any comments, please.
Nityananda Prabhu, thank you for class. My question is, how is situation with samvit potency in relation to us in position of tatastha shakti or marginal energy?
Samvit potency. So what I've heard before is that this is the potency that establishes one's relationship with the Lord. Samvit potency, the cognitive potency. Yeah. So I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Krishna Samhita describes that all these three potencies, Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini, they are reflected in a perverted way in this material realm, yeah? And therefore, I think Samvit Shakti is, its perverted reflection in this world is in the form of Ahankara. But then when we become liberated from the world and we do attain the spiritual realm, then we come under the direct influence of Samvit Shakti that reveals our eternal relationship with the Lord. Yeah. So this is the relation. This is the connection. This is our interaction with that energy. Yeah.
Little sub question. Does it mean that we didn't have, in the position of marginal energy, we didn't have samvit shakti or shakti of cognizance of knowledge?
Well, it seems that we were, yeah, we were under its influence because then what would be the meaning of saying fallen spiritual, fallen jivas, the fallen living entities? There would be no meaning of saying that unless at some point of existence we were under the influence of that potency.
Does it mean, is it same, is that Tatastha Shakti or we, is it same to tell they are covered, Samvit Shakti is covered, or they didn't have Samvit Shakti in position of marginal energy?
Well, what we understand is that Krishna Prema, which implies one's constitutional relationship with Krishna, is there, dormant in the heart, in its potential state. So we can say it is rather covered within us. Yeah. It's not Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhyaka Bhunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Koraya Udoi. It is Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It is ever existent in the heart of a living entity. It has to be revived by the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. This is what we hear from Mahaprabhu's own mouth. So Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, what does that mean? It is there in the heart of the living entity, Nitya Siddha. It's not to be obtained from any other source, from any other location. It's not that something we have to take from outside. It is there within us. This is what we understand from this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay, that is Kladini.
And this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Srila Prabhupada were stressing in their teachings. Yes.
That is Kladini potency of the Lord. Where is Prema situated? That is Kladini potency of the Lord. Where is Prema situated? And this is Samvit, so...
Yeah. We have to understand that when living entity uncovers his original relationship with Krishna, both potencies, all three potencies, act on the living entity. Particularly Samvit and Haladini together. It is said that there is a descent of this potency of a mixed Sandini mixed with Haladini potency in the heart of a sadhaka, and then the sadhaka becomes siddha. When these two potencies gracefully descend from the spiritual realm, revealing one's revealing fully one's constitutional relationship with Krishna and enabling one, Haladini Shakti enables one to offer one's love to Krishna in the most pleasing to Krishna way. So, and at the same time enabling one to feel that happiness of prema. So these two potencies, they descend into the heart of a sadhaka this happens at that juncture when the sadhana becomes accomplished in the form of bhava bhakti. So vidyavadhu jivanam, so that vidyavadhu jivanam, harinama sankirtana is the life of vidyavadhu. So vidya, that samvit, or the awareness of one's constitutional relationship with Krishna, is compared to a young newly married wife, vidyavadhu. And it her jivanam, her life, is what is the life of life and soul of a wife is her husband. Yeah. So in that verse of Shikshashtaka, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam is described, is compared to that jivanam, to the eternal companion of vidyavadhu. So when we chant Krishna's names purely, then vidyavadhu follows, she is there, we realize our relationship with Krishna. Yeah? Because she is there, just by the side.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, there's one more thing.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. There's also mentioned that even in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, it's imbibed with the Samvit Shakti and the Larini Shakti, so that devotees can understand, also get Krishna prema. So my question is, when we say Sri Guru,
Sri Guru?
Sri Guru. Mm. So we understanding is Sri would means the Ladini Shakti, would means Radharani. And Guru is, we understand, is the original Guru is Balaram. So how is it that these two combination is there?
Well, there's different angles from which we can look at the spiritual master, how we can see the spiritual master, yeah, the different angles. So one angle is, yes, as a, either as a, an expansion of Lord Balaram, who is Adi Guru, the manifestation of Balaram or Nityananda, or as a confidential servitor of Srimati Radharani. Hmm? So by saying Sri Guru, yeah, we can say that that is also implied. On the other hand, sometimes this word Sri, in different contexts, it may just convey our reverence. Yeah, Sri Yukta, endowed with Sri, and Sri means opulence. Sri means beauty. Sri means all these auspicious things. So sometimes it's not that in every single instance when Sri is used, it carries some deep internal import to that. Yeah. Particularly when Sri means goddess of the internal potency of the Lord, particularly that is used when Sri is next to the name of Krishna. Like Sri Krishna, that Sri Yukta Krishna, Krishna along with his internal potency. So, whereas if we understand that Guru's position is the servant of Sri, or servant of Krishna, then I don't know. I'd be a little careful of purporting the word Sri Guru as Guru equipped with the internal potency. That would be a little bit, I think, overstretched interpretation. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.